This is a recording of August 29, 2018, regular Board of Directors meeting to convene at 9 a.m. at the boardroom of Chugach Electric Association at 5601 Electron Drive, Anchorage, Alaska.
And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, roll call, present in the room, we have Director Henderson, Director Hollett, Director Crawford, Director Morse, Director Park, Director Reeves, and myself. Everyone is here in the room today. All house. We'll take a minute.
Good morning. My name is Taylor Crocker. I'm the safety specialist here. Dealing with the outside groups. But today we're going to talk about five common causes of workplace accidents. So number one, and I think this is everywhere I've worked, it's always been overexertion, people trying to pick up loads that are too heavy, or just using a poor lifting technique. So you can see the lifting, pushing, pulling, holding, bending, etc. Sometimes, even if you're using the wrong technique, a light load can lead to a permanent injury. And slips, trips, and falls. This is a big one, but when people think about falls, they always think about falls from raised levels. But the same level falls actually outnumber those from heights. And so we want to be careful of spills, wet floors, debris, and ice when walking, and practice good housekeeping. One of the things that we have in Alaska is, you know, half the year it's pretty dark outside. So a lot of people fall from tripping over things they couldn't see. And poor housekeeping. This is kind of obvious. Like if you have stuff laying all over the place, then you're probably going to have more trips and falls and, you know, can't find safety equipment when you need it. Or the big thing is, you know, if you need a fire extinguisher and it's buried behind 10 feet of garbage, then you're probably not going to get it in time. So poor housekeeping creates all kinds of hazards and often results in workplace accidents. So having good housekeeping will prevent a lot of accidents. And shortcuts, and this is like in every industry, I think everyone's familiar with one of the largest shortcuts taken with the gasket on the space shuttle Challenger. And so it can happen at all different levels, but just human nature wants to take shortcuts. And so putting any kind of policies and procedures in place and enforcing them to prevent people from taking shortcuts always prevents accidents. And then distractions. I'm sure that everyone here has gone to work with a sick child at home or, you know, some kind of issues outside of the workplace and your mind's just not on what you're doing that day. And so I found a lot of the accidents that I've investigated that good employees were just distracted on things outside of the workplace and it was enough to lose their focus and have an accident. So one of the things we do to prevent that from happening is having a good pre-job safety briefing or a tail board in this industry and just making sure that everyone is present for the work that they're about to perform, and just discussing all the tasks at hand will get people's heads back in the game. So on that, I do have a few handouts if you wish to take them, some headlamps, so that when you're walking in the wintertime, hopefully you won't trip on something you can't see. Any questions?
I'm going to make a point about the Enrica entrance program. It's the largest single actuarial expense for strips. Slips and falls, and it's actually five times higher than any of the other activities in terms of count, not necessarily cost. Now, so we start with it, and here, five times, slips and falls,
Yep. You know, a majority of those actually happen in like nursing homes and stuff too, because they all, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics count all those as slips, trips, and falls as well.
Yeah, but this one takes care of insurance on for some reason in the state.
That's good for sure. Thank you.
Okay, so now we're going to move on and talk about the agenda. As you guys are all aware, it's a very busy agenda for the regular board meeting today, extremely busy. And then we're going to go right over into our special board session. So it's very full. I am going to, I've written times down here because I need to be over there by noon. I'm going to try to keep these times. Specifically, so talk about it.
Move approval of the agenda as written.
Okay.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. Hearing none. Let's call a question. All those in favor of approving the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Agenda is approved unanimously. I see no persons to be heard. Let's move on to item number 4, which is the consent agenda. A few things on there. Calendar, and then training and conferences. The winter school is coming up. So, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Second.
Any discussion on the consent agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor of approval of the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the consent agenda is approved. Okay, and we are moving right along to item number 5, which is CEO report and correspondence. So on that, has everyone had a chance to read through the battery operated tools? We weren't good at trying to present on that today, were we?
If it pleases the board, we can hold it. We can certainly go through it if the board chooses.
Can I just ask a question on it? Because I maybe this is rhetorical, but I noticed that we're going to spend $14,000 in the first year to save $1,000. And I just, that kind of took me back a little bit. And would we be spending $14,000 every year?
Yeah, I think that's something we want to look at. Maybe Arthur, you can address it. I know we took a look
sure.
at it. And we're looking at it over a longer period of time.
We're looking at, if you look, I think the plan anticipates that we would spend that much money for the first couple of years, 2 or 3 years, and then the payback would be greater than the amounts expended. And there's a graph on there, a table in the presentation that Sean's put together that addresses that.
So we've gained $133,000 over 15 years in additional sales, and then it's unclear how much we would spend because there's only the first year showing.
Right, and then there's also the other attributes, going back to the triple bottom line, the social benefits, mm-hmm. the carbon benefits, and so forth, that also have a value associated with those as well.
Any further questions on that? I would encourage everyone to read through that. That's kind of our first pass on what you're planning to do, what the staff is planning to do for that program. And we will see this again.
To reinforce your point, there's an excellent article that provided the marketplace as a motivator for becoming more proactive with their members. And in fact, it's become a rather large driver in the local area. And I would behoove you to ask them for that copy. And this is actually just a starter, and like one of the items that I purchased last year was one of the Nest thermostats. We are, I believe,
a $250 item and they make about it $100. I mean, which is substantial savings and it reduces your heat. Maybe it follows you and start adjusting your heat according to your occupation rather than a hard picture of a schedule. But, those things are very advantageous and people do those things and the consequence go to your website and become more participants. Or definitely
support any activity for your kids. Okay, thank you. Other questions? All right, does anybody have any questions on the metrics? Okay, we're going to move on to item number 6, which is director reports, and I'd like to ask that everybody keep their report to like 3 minutes or less. Okay? So,
Arctic. Madam Chair, you do have a report on Arctic in your packet, and I think basically what we've been doing is going through and identifying, you know, how we're going to address the RRC, and I think it's probably appropriate maybe we just wait until Brian's presentation. I think most of the questions can be asked in that presentation. So, for speed, I'd say let's just pull till executive session.
So we'll hold that one, and item B is Reed.
Sure, I'll be really brief. We had a board meeting, and I was not aware until going to the board meeting that one of the primary issues facing Reed is their funding sources have changed, and they are putting forward significant effort in doing fundraising for organizational sustainability. So house parties, individual donors, they've hired a development director. I do think it is worth it for board members to attend and stay in this arena because as they talk about what they do, they talk about their relationship with the utilities a lot at these fundraising parties. So I think it's a good thing for us to pay attention to. They're going to go through, the policy committee hasn't met in a while. They're going to meet in the near future to talk about their agenda for the upcoming year, and I'll attend that and be able to report back on that.
But no action right now?
No action.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Okay, you're up next, audit and finance as well. Maybe. How about operations, Stuart?
So there has not been an operations committee meeting since the last board meeting. However, we've had two biweekly updates. One was August 2nd and the other August 17th. And in general, those we just do a general review of the deal, the integration plan, the communication plan, major risks, those ideas, so to try to keep the board up to date, at least the committee chair and the chair for the board. Details on that, I think it's better to hold off until today's special board meeting, executive session.
Mm-hmm. I love that. All right, thank you. Susan, governance?
We still haven't met, and that's my fault, but I just wanted to report that three of us had attended a training session on governance that was actually, I thought, pretty good. It was made governance fun, and that will help us with the issues that are before us. And I noted your comment in the last minutes that it's time to pull us together and get working in anticipation of changes we might have to make as a consequence of the acquisition. I will comment that I talked to several people from the Golden Valley Board, and they have raised their meeting fees substantially, and I think we do need to look at our meeting fees. There's really never been any pushback from the bylaws committee on meeting fees, so we ought to look at our meeting fees and the number of meetings we can attend in any given year, because have so much. We will have. We have so much before us this year, and we will have next year.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. There were four of us. I sat in the front. I couldn't see anybody behind me. Okay. Next item is APA. The five of us actually attended the APA annual meeting by Crystal's invite, because as you know, we are not currently members of APA, but our voice came up because we're joining APA again. There's the idea was that when we met with Crystal a month or so ago, we had some discussions about our discussion about coming back into the fold. I think it was very beneficial. I'll just, you know, just a minute to hear from everybody else that attended. I thought it was a very well put together conference and meeting. At the time we had a discussion with Crystal, she said that the board was going to take up the action of considering having a rail belt working group. They didn't actually do that at the annual meeting. It's kind of understandable since, you know, there weren't, it was a very public meeting and 100 people were there more. And so I did get a note from her, and I included it in your packet that she said that they will be taking it up in their October meeting. So we'll have a discussion about that. But anyway, I thought it was a great, conference. Rachel, do you want to talk to you about the first couple of days?
Sure. I think I thought it was a blah-blah organization. I was impressed at how many utilities are participating, and I think that there's a lot of value as we look for how we move our relationships forward to be back in APA.
I always think it's better to be inside the tent, listening to what's going on, and not letting things get by us, than outside of the tent and wondering what's going on. So, there's still problems with APA, but maybe we can help fix some of that.
Jim, what's your?
I've always had a positive read from Peter's position with APA. I believe in participating statewide, quite honestly, being active in the government. They represent us, they represent them. There's some division there that I think should be addressed. But if you're not there, you can't address it. So I express my predisposition to participate with APA and with all the folks in the state in the future, as long as you can. I know that it's a costly event. Hopefully, we can figure out some way to address some of that, and also address some of the other concerns. But not participating in APA is a correct answer.
I was somewhat taken aback
when
I heard that they didn't take up Crystal had committed to take up, that was consideration of a rail belt working group. So that was a bit of a red flag that went up. I agree, though, it would be good to be back in the organization, and I think I would want to be cautious, though, because when we left, we were donating a considerable amount of time from some really qualified people. I mean, our leaders were over there helping APA, and I don't want to get into that position again. There is you can sense a little bit of negative reaction from people about Chugach. You know, everyone thinks they're the big dog and we want to run everything. Can't imagine where they get that idea. But I think it would be great if we could get in for a reasonable amount of money and participate fully, but not put our toe in the water, not go back in with the same kind of support that we did in the past.
So I think we'll wait. Maybe we'll have one more meeting with Crystal before her October meeting, just to
get a sense of, you know, exactly what they're going to talk about, and then we'll take this back up again after the October meeting. Anything else?
I just want to go back. I apologize. I'm not quite on my game this morning, and hit the audit committee and just report that we did have a meeting on August 8th, and that information is available. We had the director of participation, and Director Hollis was elected as the vice chair for the committee.
Thank you for that. Any other meeting reports that I missed? Okay, we're going to move on. No unfinished business, and under new business, simplified rate filing.
Jean Cornwaller, Manager of Regulatory Affairs. So, I'm assuming that each of you has received the updated agenda item summary and resolution. And I'll keep this as brief as possible in respect to your time constraints. So, this agenda item is for a simplified rate filing based on the June 30, 2018 test year. And the results indicate that system and demand energy rates should increase 2.7% for rates effective November 1st. So the original agenda item summary that you received indicated that the SRF calculations would be updated if the Regulatory Commission of Alaska issued an order on our petitions for to create regulatory assets for the overhaul of Blue Bee Unit Number 3 and dredging associated with Cooper Lake Power Plant. That was received prior to this board meeting, and indeed it was. We received that at actually about 5 o'clock on the 27th. So they issued that with a truncated timeline for the amortization for both of these projects. So, they granted approval to create regulatory assets for both the Beluga unit overhaul and the dredging for Cooper Lake project. The Beluga Unit Number 3 overhaul is about a $4.2 million project, and it is to be amortized now over a 26-month period rather than a 7-year period, and that begins September 1st. So that is included in this filing because this is for rates effective November 1, and the amortization begins September. But we have a truncated, therefore, slightly higher amount of amortization included. And that is a large driver in this rate increase. So the June 30 test year results have been updated to include this normalization adjustment for the amortization of the Blue Bee overhaul. Next quarter's SRF, based on the September 2018 test year, will reflect both the Blue Bee unit overhaul and the Cooper Lake dredging project. So the results of this test year indicate an increase of 2.7% for rates effective November 1, and that's because of a revenue deficiency of about $3 million. And that revenue deficiency is comprised of, primarily I would say, the depreciation. So it's $2.9 million in depreciation, and $1.9 million of that is the Beluga amortization. The other factors are increases in transmission expense and distribution expense of about $400,000 and $500,000 respectively. And those are offset by an $800,000 decrease in administrative and general expenses. In summary, on an individual customer class basis, these results show a demand and energy rate increase of 2.7% to Chugach retail and 1.5% to the wholesale class sewer electric system. If this rate adjustment is approved, the total bill for a residential customer using 600 kilowatts per month will increase approximately 1.6%, which translates to an increase of $1.93 on the monthly bill. If approved, these rate adjustments contained in this filing will become effective November 1. Does anyone have any questions?
So, I don't understand why they wanted to shorten the time of the amortization. What was the reason they want to shorten it?
So, I think that later in the meeting, Arthur's going to address the order a little more in depth with you, and I think that may be provide all the answers to the the commission's response to the regulatory asset.
Okay. Other questions?
Susan?
Yeah, I don't ask you to change it now, but it would be good if we have in the resolution the amount that the bill was expected to change, because easier to swallow the smaller number than a 2% increase. But I don't want to hold things up.
Sure, but I think that could be a change to a resolution in the future. Okay. That will add another item.
Yeah. How are we going to communicate this?
So, in our notifications requirement, we list that we will do a newsletter item. So, we do a little blurb in our newsletter that goes out in November. We will put a bill message on the bills for November, and we also will post a article on the website.
Other questions? Okay. There are no other questions. Is there a motion? I move that the Board of Directors approve the attached resolution authorizing Chief Ash to file with the Commission in June 2018 test rate SRF requesting approval to increase demand and energy rates by 2.7% to Chief Ash retail and 1.5% to the wholesale class sewer electric system, a rate effective on November 1, 2018.
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, we'll call a question. All those in favor of approving the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I'm reading the resolution. I'm trying to see the 2% that you just mentioned, but I'm not quite sure.
It's in the motion.
It's 2.7 and 1.5.
2.7 and 1.5. Did I say it incorrectly?
Sorry. Be very I have no problem. I just am not seeing it.
Yes.
I see what you're saying. I'm just
looking for 2%, but it's 2.7.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'll approve it.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Here it is. We're going to move on to item B8B, which is the NREPA resolution. I'm Bill Mallory. So I'm going to have Phil give us the highlights. I'm going to assume that everybody's read these resolutions and what the recommended two-year stances, and basically I'm going to open it up to questions. Everybody's got questions on this. Comments? Susan?
Well, the only one that is of importance is the greenhouse gas emissions one, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm going to call it MIRA because, you know, this look it's worded as though AVEC was actually the whole thing. And there has been, I would like to see this just say that in the recent years, there's been a lot of discussion of this resolution at the annual meeting, and that the representative for Alaska took over that effort and achieved this result. I don't know whether it started there. But other than that, this is a baby step at changing the resolution, so it's not offensive to all of us.
Number 10.
And if I may, That is not actually in the resolution proper being voted on. That's in the background.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, indeed. Exactly. Yes, sure, I know.
Okay.
No resolution number three. So it sounds like you do not mean to contribute to the cost of receiving a note of benefits. That's their required set apparently with WAPA. I just have my comment you asked. On number six, it says the position is neutral. This is on DER, distributed energy resources. I said, why not positive? On number seven, a question I have, because the law is understanding, apparently, that's a good question. I think people are just asking it. And number 11, of course, didn't time to us by that response.
So basically, these will be taken up, I guess, at the regional meeting, and then we have a voting delegate at the regional meeting that's here in September. Right? So if you have, I guess, issues or concerns with the recommended stand on them, they probably should take them up for their voting delegate and they can carry our message.
So do we, I still have this general question, do we then approve this and that's what we vote, or we leave it up to our delegate to vote based on the information that happens at the meeting and these are our recommendations? What's the process?
What we've always done is we've got, the voting delegate has expressed the will of the board.
So
we've always, we spent more time on these than probably any other utility in the country, but we have had some pretty healthy debate. Discussion of these, and so I guess it would be good if I think, you know, Jim, whether we are neutral or whether we support is not a big deal, right? So you would accept a friendly amendment for Jim. It would be inconsistent with your advice if we authorize these.
And we just need a consensus discussion. We don't need to take a vote.
We don't need to vote on that.
Okay.
So, can you just send me an email with your thoughts, Thank you, Phil. This saves everybody a lot of time.
And to be clear, what this is a few pages, just in 26 pages, and the positions are, as noted, suggested to get positions. Really, as noted, this is a board decision. And your question, Jim, about the one that's got a neutral recommendation and distributed energy part of what, if you like the actual resolution, part of what the resolution calls for is for NRECA to be opposed to legal and regulatory mandates and actions, including things like net meter. Well, we already have net metering, so we might be in favor of one part of the resolution and maybe not so much in favor of another part of the resolution. And all I suggest is, you know, it's not when you fall on your sword over, you take a neutral position, you like part of it, you maybe don't like part of it. We don't really get to parse out and vote on, well, I like that sentence, but not that one. So that was my rationale behind that particular suggestion on that one. But clearly it's a board decision.
But you see, we just have one caption. That's what I observed. So
that's fine. That's the downside of 3 pages to just 26 pages. You know.
If anyone else has any other strong comments or opposition or anything,
I just appreciate the work that went into the document.
It's riveting reading.
Yeah, actually, it was.
Okay.
Before we do go into executive session, looking at the agenda, I have a financial interest that I would like to disclose related to the matter that is currently before the Board of Directors concerning the placement agent that will assist Chugach in obtaining financing for the potential MLMC acquisition. I currently obtain personal brokerage and retirement services from Bank of America Merrill Lynch, whom I understand is one of the firms being considered. I do not believe that the selection of this firm as Chugach's placement agent could result in my personal financial gain or loss, nor do I feel that my ability to act independently regarding this matter is in any way compromised. However, I feel an obligation to disclose this interest so that the board can consider it and determine whether the board believes a conflict of interest.
Did we go into executive session?
No, we have not.
This in open session.
Yeah.
If you have anything to disclose.
Okay. I thought you were going to discuss this, and you're not. Here.
This is just the disclosure and the consideration of the.
I had a conversation with Matt, and his hurdle was financial brokerage services. I guess I've been blessed. Not necessarily in work group, but our relationships, our family's relationships are substantially larger. And so I need to disclose that I personally feel that I leave it up to you to decide whether you want me to vote, and participate in that battle, and I will leave that decision to you.
So you two are disclosing that you think there could be a potential conflict that the board needs to take up?
Yes.
Okay. I don't believe it's a conflict, but I think in due process the board should take it up.
Okay. Perhaps we can give direction from our lawyer as to how we should inquire.
So I would do it one interest, one disclosure at a time.
Okay.
Have the non-interested members tell them whether it's a conflict. Someone else has an interest to disclose, they can then disclose after that. So take them up one at a time,
okay,
is my suggestion.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
I have a question regarding that, and it maybe is a legal interpretation. As I read the ethics document regarding that, brokerage accounts typically are not a conflict of interest unless you have a certain percentage of work there. If we are in the process at the board today disclosing potential conflicts of that, you know, I could say that I would have a conflict because I have an account with Merrill Lynch, which is a subsidiary of Bank of America. So I guess we would look for some legal interpretation of that. In addition to that, I have a spouse who also works for Merrill Lynch, who is a subsidiary of Bank of America. So if we're disclosing, I'm disclosing as well.
I offer a path forward here that we simply ask Rachel whether she owns more than 10% of an interest in any of the security firms, or the answer is no.
No.
And believe that you're going to be able to consider the questions without taking into account your personal, any way that it might affect you personally?
Yes. I do not feel that my ability to act independently regarding this matter is in any way compromised.
Yes.
So, if I could, one point of clarification. The issue with respect to the 10% is an ownership issue, not a brokerage account issue. So, to the extent you have more than a 10% ownership interest in a company that's doing business with Chugach, that is a conflict of interest under the bylaws and the board policy. The brokerage service account, so I My only point with respect to that is, if you can own up to 10% in a company that you guys are doing business with and not constitute a conflict, then smaller financial service brokerage accounts still have an ownership interest in the company, don't constitute an ownership interest in the company, are much less material than an ownership interest, and therefore, in my opinion, would not constitute a disqualifying conflict.
Okay.
Thank you for
that. Is it okay to ask, do you feel that you're going to be able to?
It's an objective test, it's not a subjective standard, so it's probably.
It's just that you're merely, well, you're revealing that interest that you have a brokerage account, and
right.
You own less than 10%. Those are the two questions.
And then the board, based on an objective sort of reasonableness in the standard, do you believe that she can act independently?
So, can I just take a vote of the board? Do we believe that Rachel can act and vote on these financial matters in an objective way? By show of hands, can the uninterested directors please vote whether or not we think Rachel can do that? Okay. So, should we take up Jim's matter?
Yes, and I mean, it might be more clear just to vote on whether or not there's a disqualifying conflict.
Okay.
Right. Would be one suggestion just for purpose of clarity in the minutes.
Okay. Still, because of the ambiguity in the statement, I feel more comfortable if I ask, is it a brokerage account? Do you have a brokerage account?
Oh, we've got 11 of them.
Okay, well.
Okay, yeah. Okay, plus, and we retain a bunch and handle the processing. Securities in town.
But okay. You don't own an interest in Merrill.
Yes, I can look and tell you exactly how many shares I have in Merrill Lynch or Bank of America. Yes, I can tell you, yes.
But less than 10% of the ownership of the company.
Well, yes, less than 10%. If I had 10%, I'd have to declare that SEC, right? Well, no, I don't. I'm not declaring that to the SEC.
So less than 10%.
Less than
10%. Okay. Are there other qualifiers that you want to add?
Well, I just, I'd be perfectly opposed to marriage. It's been a 50-year relationship. If you ask, that's my request, folks.
Are you going to be able to vote on issues related to financing of the potential acquisition?
I can vote for the best interest that you get.
Okay, so by show of hands from other uninterested directors, do we feel that Director Henderson has a disqualifying conflict, or disqualifying circumstances to be able to vote on the financial matters of the acquisition? Does anyone believe that we have a, by the definition that our legal counsel has? Has given us, do we believe, a disqualifying situation?
No.
No.
Okay.
I don't vote, right?
You get to vote on this one.
Yeah.
It's
you
just
have to vote on this.
Yeah. Not interested as to the specific interest.
Okay.
That's
fine.
Yeah.
Thank you for the consideration. I do appreciate it. I mean, I honestly thought it was to address it. And I needed you guys to carry that responsibility, but not something I needed to
offer.
So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take up Director Hollis's disclosure. What has the difference?
Sure. Is it a brokerage account or an ownership interest in one of the companies?
It's a brokerage account. It's less than 10% of the ownership of the company.
Okay. And do you, I've not just asked that. Okay.
Is that all you'd like to disclose? And your spouse that works?
I have a spouse.
Okay.
the words there, I do not consider a conflict in voting on the best interests of two branch electric in this situation.
Does your spouse control decision looking at marriage?
No.
Okay, so all other directors, do we feel it?
I have a question about the spouse or conflict. I mean, we have that question in our policies and I don't know, is there, is that, I'm asking because is that an issue? It is an issue in our bylaws. Is it an issue in this question?
You have to ask that.
Well, I'm looking at Susan and people on that. That's my question. It is an issue in our bylaws. Is it, would it therefore be an issue in this question? That's my only input.
So I guess if I could ask a question, what is your spouse's position?
She's a financial advisor.
She's a financial advisor.
She is.
Okay, so she has no ownership interest in the. Do you see any reasonable way that she could actually benefit or suffer a detriment as a result of the vote on retaining Merrill Lynch? Okay. So the spouse, in my understanding, and I did look into the spouse issue in detail when I did my memo on this, but my understanding is that if a spouse has an interest that would also constitute a disqualifying conflict for a director, if the director held it, then the director also carries that disqualifying conflict because of the spouse. So to the extent the spouse doesn't have an interest that would arise to a disqualifying conflict, I don't believe there's an issue.
And I think it's also one that's you identify for you.
Right.
Yeah.
You would still disclose it.
And that's more if your homes or your friends tree service and then they are contracted for another year. So
exactly.
Okay, so we'll ask the same question with regards to director policy. Disclosure, does anyone, do any of the other directors believe that Director Collins has a disqualifying position based on our interpretation?
No.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Thanks, Matt.
Okay. Thank you.
Now we all know Matt. Okay.
Move the pursuant to Alaska Statute 10.25.175(c)(1) and 3, the Board of Directors go into executive session to discuss and receive reports regarding financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative, and to discuss with its attorneys legal matters, the immediate knowledge of which could have an adverse effect on the legal position of the cooperative.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? We are going to end the executive session. Do I get lunch at the table?
I should move that, I guess.
Is table the right?
Well, I don't know.
I think it's continuous.
Yes, that's okay. Right. Well, then we need a motion to continue. No. Okay, I move to continue the discussion from item Roman numeral 10C to later this afternoon.
Second.
And I don't think that needs any discussion. And so then I'll make the. I move that the Board of Directors authorize the Chief Executive Officer to execute and deliver on behalf of the company engagement letters for the potential acquisition financing of one or more placement agents and deemed necessary or appropriate, including Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, Wells Fargo Securities, and KeyBank Capital Markets, Inc., as discussed in executive session.
We're out of executive session. We made that earlier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're out.
Yes.
I don't think that was clear.
Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. Well, we take, so the other action was taken.
out of executive session to the motion to continue.
We didn't vote on the first one. To continue.
I don't know if we need to.
Yeah. You said there's no discussion necessary.
Do we need to vote?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the first motion. Can you make that motion again? Will you include the other two items that we just heard as well?
Oh, dear. Okay. I move that we continue the discussion of item Roman numeral 10C, Roman numeral 9I, and Roman numeral IG to this afternoon. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of continuing the discussion this afternoon?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we will add that to the agenda to talk about it this afternoon. Continuation. Now we're going to move on to 10A. Is there a motion for the financing for the potential acquisition? I move that the Board of Directors authorize the Chief Executive Officer to execute and deliver on behalf of the company the engagement letter for the potential acquisition financing with one or more placement agents as deemed necessary or appropriate, including Bank of America Merrill Lynch, Wells Fargo Securities, and KeyBank Capital Markets, Inc., as discussed in executive session.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, let's call a question. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Item 10B, the RRC Memorandum of Understanding.
Should be up
there. I move that the Board of Directors reaffirm.
Wait, we have a
new one. I move that the Board of Directors reaffirm January 26, 2017 resolution regarding the Unified System Operator and Transmission Owning Utility Transfer Business Plan Development. In doing so, the Board reaffirms its desire to ensure the development of these organizations and the subsequent realization of the economic benefits associated with a non-discriminatory open access transmission system and a rail belt-wide economic dispatch. The Board of Directors authorizes the Chief Executive Officer to sign the Railbelt Utility Manager's negotiated Reliability Council Memorandum of Understanding and proceed with Transco negotiations subject to the current draft Transco term sheet and conditions, substantially the same as discussed in executive session.
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, we're going to call the question. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay.
Madam Chair, I move to recess this meeting to 2:15 in the Megan
room.
12:15 in the Megan room. I stand corrected.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Okay.
All right, so we are now recessed.